Blog Talk Radio.
Hold it now.
America, how are you this evening? My name is Kenny Jones, and this is Black Herb America. I guess my guest is not going to come on today. I had Dr. Dina Bailey, who is an author, had agreed to come on this evening. I understand why she may not show up, because a lot of folks do participate in this holiday season. On Tuesday evenings, Black Herb America airs from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock p.m. Provocative Thought airs at on Saturday night with Carlton Steed from 8 to 9 p.m. And these times are Eastern Standard Time. And also, we have a marketing partnership program. We Talk Productions is interested in working with people that have their own businesses, they are entrepreneurs, and what have you, to get their products and services exposed nationally as well as internationally. First off, I want to say Abangani. Yes, what's the word for today? It's Kwanzaa season. For the next 7 days, we'll be celebrating Kwanzaa. I hope in your area of the country that you are conducting some type of Kwanzaa celebration. Now, some people say Kwanzaa have become commercialized. That may be true, but that's still, you know, it's a tradition that started in the late 60s. And we should continue it in community centers, senior citizen centers, schools, you know, and even businesses, you know, have some type of, I forgot what they call the candles and everything, but even have that display in your window and show that we're trying to be pro-cultural. We're trying to make some attempts to show some type of unity, which is the word of today. It's emoji, unity. And I'm not going to keep you long for this evening, since my guest did not show. And hey, I know you guys, you know, are spending time with each other. Schools are out, and football game is on. Hey, I like sports. Don't hold it against me. I like sports. I love sports. Football, basketball, baseball, track, swimming. I like to look at, you know, I look forward to the Olympics once every 4 years. I've been part of sports since I was from the age of 10 years old to, well, before that, just playing pickup games until, what, 10, 7 years ago? So, as a coach, so I've been around sports, so it's something that's second nature to me. I know a lot of people, I don't care if I say a lot of guys, but women do watch sports too. And how about that Serena Williams? Boy, she's back on the court after delivering the baby 9 months ago. Wow. That is a strong sister, boy. I am telling you, that is a strong sister. She's back on the court. Matter of fact, she is participating in a tournament as we speak now. And she, you know, some people like take 2 years off, a year or 9 months. And she don't look like she has a baby. I mean, she is solid. I mean, in shape. You know, so let me get back to Omocha, Unity. Like I said, I'm not going to keep you long tonight. It's going to be a short program. I'm not going to be long-winded tonight. Where is Unity? Do you think black folks in America have some type of unity? The consensus would say, now I've been reading articles all day on this topic, you know, part of my way of celebrating Kwanzaa. I already had a preconceived notion, but I wanted some authors to make a statement to change, to help me change my mind. Let's define unity. Unity is oneness of the mind, heart, and soul. And for those of you guys who listen by computer, if you have a comment or a question, you could dial 909-265-9215 and press 1. Amber Leroy from Florida says, there has not been unity amongst black folks since the Civil Rights Movement. We don't support each other in business or anything else. We are also, he said, we are very critical of each other. Now, when we, I guess we mean by critical, haters, I guess. You know, I mean, if you have a strategy, if you feel this strategy or technique is going to work for your people, your community, why not implement it? And of course, you're going to be criticized because other people don't agree with your strategy. And because what others don't agree with your strategy, here comes the negative criticism. Instead of, just think about this, folks. Why can't we work with black Republicans? Why can't black Democrats work with black Republicans? Black independents work with black Republicans and Democrats. Black revolutionary thought work with black Dems and black Republicans and black independents or Christians, black Muslims, you know, and we have other faiths out there. There are black Buddhists, you know, and
hold it now.
Excuse me. Sorry about that. Little sensitive buttons. That's when I'm talking, I got to keep my hands off the controls. Well, we have to start really sitting down and having discussions. You know, people have problems about the NAACP. The NAACP is almost in every black community in the United States. And they believe in working within the system, the legal system, as well as the political system. Why should you criticize that? Why? Sit down with the folks. Go to their meetings. And then we have some, oh, they didn't accept my idea, so I'm not going to be involved with them any longer. What type of thought is that? What type of thing is that? We already are involved in a system that's been dividing us for the past 400, 500 years. First, it was the color barrier, light skin versus dark skin. Now it's a class barrier. It's a class barrier. Oh, the haves and the have-nots. I am not like those black folks. Really? Really? Because one man doesn't make your salary. Oh, you feel that you are better than him? That man might have more values in his pinky than in your whole body. How dare we? See, we have many people that explore solutions to our ills in our communities. And we have to start reaching out to them, and they have to start reaching out to the community. Don't show your face down when you need something from the community, when you need participation, or when you need votes. Don't show your face. You have to be more consistent in the communicating your strategy to the communities, to the residents in the community, whether it's local, state, or nationally, or internationally. And all these, and with these people, with all these brothers and sisters that had different ideas and different strategies, It won't make any sense at the end if we don't have the unity. You know, we got to start unifying, folks. Malik Green, he has a magazine, Going Beyond the Dream. He feels that we are the only group, the only ethnic group in America that does not have a linkage to the ancestors. And, he gone and said, we are a dysfunctional group. That's a whole lot to say about us in a nutshell, you know. And there is a segment of our population that do recognize the ancestors, but not the total population. There's a segment of the population that every day when they wake up, they're trying to do something for their people. Are we a dysfunctional group? Yes. Say, wow, you know, we have billionaires, millionaires, corporate leaders, commissioners, congressmen, senators, mayors, international leaders, generals, colonels, you know, but those are individuals. As a group, group means collective. And I think that's I think that's the third or fourth principle. But a collective, as a collective group, we have not made progress, folks, in 35 years. Since like the late 70s, prior to the crack epidemic. So are we dysfunctional as a group? Yeah, maybe individually we are not, but as a group we are. Look how we talk to each other. Look how we disagree with each other. Heck, we call each other by a term that was used to describe us as slaves. The N-word. The N-word is popular. And also, we allow other groups to call us the N-word if we're close to an individual in that group. So they're alone. That's dysfunction. They're alone. That look how all year I've been beating this drum. How men, black men, have to be more involved in with their families, with their children, even though they are on the outs with their mother. 72.5% of families are headed by single parent households. That's dysfunctional. I'm sorry. I'm criticizing my group. That's dysfunctional. With the absent, and then the black man is not even counted as part of the family. 1.5 million black fathers in prison? That's dysfunctional. I'm sorry to say. So, in 2018, when you hear this broadcast and when I'm speaking into your ear, I want you to take time out to really, really meditate and think about what contribution are you making to your community. Whether your community is one block or five blocks or half a mile or a mile or rural area or suburban. I mean, we live everywhere. And we have to start showing some type of unity so we can make progress as a group. Well, let me tell you something. When Donald Trump gets finished, we better be unified and come together, hang together, and start doing business with each other. Start supporting our black politicians. I've got to say this. We do get our voting for our black politicians. But what happened when that person gets to office? The communication stopped. So we really have to start stop watching so many reality TV shows and sit down and read some of these black magazines and articles that is trying to communicate what we should do, what we're trying to do. And I mean, people are out there knocking their heads against the wall trying to unify us on every level. And I implore you guys, because I know sometimes it gets frustrating. I know sometimes it gets stressful. I know sometimes you say, man, I don't really have time for my folks. Don't stop. Don't stop. Malcolm didn't stop. Megan didn't stop. Martin didn't stop. Elijah didn't stop. Don't stop. It's just another day. I got some very alarming news. In Chicago. Yeah, I know a percentage of you do listen to my show from Chicago. You know, they had instituted a strategy called predictive policing. Predictive policing. Oh, I have a caller. Good evening. Welcome to Black Urban America.
Yo, what's up, brother? This is Black Urban America, right?
Yes.
Yo, what's up, brother?
How are you today?
Not much, my brother. I'm calling from Brooklyn. This is Jay Sean.
How
you doing today?
I'm doing fine.
Today.
I had just finished a little dialogue about unity, which today is the first day of Kwanzaa and Hamojo, and I will just make a small presentation presentation about unity and how we need to unify. I went on and said, yes, there are many in the black individuals that are doing very, very well in the military, politics, business, the corporate world, and what have you. But as a collective group, we're not. And I cited a couple of authors, like Mr. Malik Green, has a magazine, Going Beyond the Dream. He said, we are a dysfunctional group. And when you look at our behaviors throughout this country, I have to agree with them. I mean, it's shocking. It's not shocking. It is what it is. We are divided. And also, I was calling for people to work with each other, whether black Republicans, black Democrats, or black conservatives, or black revolutionaries, or black independents, Christians, Muslims, Buddhists, you know, no matter what your belief system is, it's one thing we have in common with black folk. And I also went on to say, if Donald Trump have his way, we're going to have some problems, and we better be unified, or we're not as a group. Huh?
I was going to say, one of the biggest things that's facing black people today is all these religions we have. I mean, like, if you look in America, I mean, if you look at it in totality, the world itself, there's like 4,200 different religions on the planet Earth. And within that 4,200 different religions, the most popular religions, of course, is Christianity and Islam, right? So,
right.
So within Christianity itself, you got 30,000 different denominations. So I think that's one of the major things that's destroying the black community. I mean, one thing I could say is if you look at the 50s and 60s, we were more, we were more unified because what happened?
We were.
We knew basically who our enemy was. We automatically all knew who our enemy was. And our enemy was racism. Our enemy was trying to basically fight for the rights of black people, right? As a whole.
Right.
But now that racism basically is like, racism went underground, so to speak. You know, it went underground in the sense that you can't easily detect it now. Like, it's kind of hard to see it because back in the day, you saw, you know, it was right in your face. The white man would tell you no niggers allowed. So we automatically saw racism. Now we can't see it no more. So black people got comfortable, and that's the key words right there, comfortable. Because we're comfortable now. Now we focus on other things. Oh, you Muslim, you this. Because look at the 1950s. We still had all these different religions, right? We still had, you had Malcolm X versus Martin Luther King. But at the end of the day, like I said, we saw who the real enemy was. It brought us together. The real enemy unified us. And unfortunately, we don't know who our enemy is anymore. We don't. We don't easily see it anymore. And because we don't easily see it, that's why we fight amongst ourselves so much. You know what I'm saying to you? I mean, for God's sakes, you got these mega churches out here who are pulling, they're pulling like $80, $90 million a year in revenue. I mean, you just had a pastor 2 years ago named Creflo Dollar get a $70 million private jet. I mean, this is mind-boggling, brother. I mean, you go into Atlanta, Georgia itself, you see these super mega churches. These churches cost $60, $80, $90 million. And then around the church is complete poverty. I mean, it's so much poverty. You're just puzzled.
I know.
You're just blown away. Like, you see this temple of this incredible heavenly sculptured statue of God and a beautiful temple where people could praise God and keep worshiping him every day, every Sunday. But then you look around the temple, and it's all a bunch of black people who are suffering and in miserable turmoil and poverty. And you're like, wait, what is this? This is insanity. And it's like, I can't even explain it. It's just black people were just destroyed, man. Were destroyed mentally, spiritually, the whole nine. And I think the main reason is we lost focus. We don't know we don't really truly know who our enemy is. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
and like I said,
yeah,
the enemy is still racism.
That too. But also, I got to disagree with you on one thing. Racism is still in our face. it's more institutionalized, all you got to do is look at the prisons, the prisons. All you got to do is look at the TV. Look at the images on the TV that they're portraying. Do they let one or two films in that portray us in a positive light? Yes. But look at there. Just look, it's right there on TV. They tell us how we should eat. They tell us how should we dress. They tell us how we should act. Look how we interact with the police, the law enforcement. I mean, come on. If that is not racism at its best, I don't know what is.
But, brother, listen to this, though. I mean, look at the top number one show right now for black people, Empire, right? Now, if you look at Empire, Empire's really dysfunctional. But check this out. Guess who's supporting Empire? Guess who's giving Empire incredible ratings? The black community. We love to see ratchetness. Like, let's be honest with ourselves right now. We like watching ratchetness. We like watching shit going downhill. We don't like to see really positive. We don't like to watch. I mean, imagine they created a Cosby show in this day and era. It would not do very well with ratings. People don't want to see all that goody good shoe show.
Why now? What did see? And that's what Malik was talking about. Dysfunctional.
Don't want to see
that's
it.
Dysfunctional. Why you want to see
the reason why we dysfunctional is because we don't have no. At the end of the day, I think black people, at the end of the day, we all feel hopeless. We all feel like we don't have power. We feel hopeless. And let's be honest, brother. You go to these churches, people at the end of the day, I mean, right now, if you look at the numbers of churches right now, bro, the number of members going to churches right now, attendance, especially amongst black men, it's going very, it's like attendance in churches is overall low throughout the whole country.
Churches, I didn't know that. I didn't know that. Really?
Amongst black men? Hell yeah.
Oh, yeah. Black men. Oh, black men really never went to church.
Churches is all women.
You're right. Yeah, black men, huh? Yeah, that's always been, that's been history. That's historical. Black men never really. Yeah.
The numbers.
Black men never really bought into the whole white Jesus thing.
Nah, man. But brother, to be honest with you, man, when you get real deep into it, I mean, I always ask myself this. Why is the government so pro-religious? I mean, one of the things that made me question religion since day one, I believe there's a higher power. I believe there's a higher power, but I don't believe there's higher powers in the biblical term the way they want us to define it. The reason why I say that, because think about it. Logic, if you chase logic, you're going to find logic. And what I mean by that, brother, is this. This is the same government that experimented with us 50, 60 years ago, known as the Tuskegee Experiment. This is the same government that basically said 60 years ago a black man and a white man were not equal to each other. Now, why would you think this government would tell you the truth in anything? This government lied to us since day one. They lied to the Native Americans. They lied to us. They forced this religion down our throat. Christianity wasn't an option. It was literally shoved down our throat. Now, why would black people to this day think that this religion, as we know it, which is Christianity, why would they think the government don't have some control over it? I mean, the greatest form of power in the universe is religion, which is basically a belief of what you think, which, you know, like people think, okay, I know what religion is. I know what God is. We really don't understand the definition of God. Why would the government let us truly know the definition of God? Because once you find God, then there's, understand this, the government is God in a sense. That's why they control religion. Religion is a form of godly-like powers. So in a way, the government would have to control religion. And if you think about it, I always ask my mother this since I was 11 years. I asked my mom, why is the government giving these churches all these benefits? And she never could give me an answer for that. Because I'm like, do you trust the government, Mom? And my mom would say, I don't trust the government. And I'm like, then why would you trust this government to enrich these churches? Because think about it. Churches don't pay taxes. A lot of
they
these
don't.
People faith belief system do not pay taxes. As a matter of fact, in 2003, George W. Bush passed a law called the Faith-Based Initiative, which is the abbreviation for it's called FBI, which basically stands for faith-based initiative. You could look it up. And basically what that means is the government now gives the churches money. The same government that does not tax the churches now is giving these churches money. So now you got to ask yourself, why is the government trying to proliferate these churches? Why is the government that we don't trust, why do we think it's trying to help us find Jesus? Do you really think this government wants us to find our true God, our true spiritual God, that's going to give us some enlightenment, some power, some sense? No, the government is corrupt and evil. Why is the same government telling us to find God? And to be, because mind you, God stands for righteousness, God stands for peace, God stands for balance of order of nature and everything. But what do we see the government do every day? They're not for righteousness, they're not for fair, they're not for balance. They're completely opposite of what we think is a righteous God. So why would we think this government, which is controlled by Satan himself, right? Why would we think that the government would want to help grow the churches? Because that's what it's doing. It doesn't tax the churches, it gives these churches all these benefits. So then I ask myself, if the government is pushing these churches and pushing these belief systems, then there's something wrong with the belief system. So if you start researching these belief systems that government's pushing down our throat, then you'll start to find out that everything you know in your whole life is a fucking lie, man. Everything is a lie because, like I said, I attack the main thing, which is the government, because I don't trust nothing. Just like, for instance, like we go to school half our fucking life. For what? So we could be fucking servants. They're not teaching us how to be employers. They're teaching us how to be employees. Think about it, brother. Let me tell you. I know white people right now that they put money aside for their kids since their kid was like 2 fucking years old. By the time their kids are 18, 19, these kids have enough money where they don't have to work. You know why they work? They work as a way just to basically, it's almost like a game to them. Like, we work to survive. They work just to prove something to themselves, status or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, let me tell you something, brother. White people who have real money, they don't work like we do. We work to survive. They work to keep enriching themselves, to build an empire. They work for to build empires. We work to survive. And that's the thing. That's the difference between white and black. And we got to ask ourselves, why is black people, we're not working to build empires. We're just working to survive. Because the school system itself is nothing but a system that's set up for you to serve your masters. That's what it is. Like, think about it. Slavery never went away. I mean, I always ask myself this, too. How did 5-6 white people control 200 slaves on a plantation? Now ask yourself these questions. How did, because on average, only 1-2% of the white population in this country had the vast majority of slaves. So you might have, like, 7-8 white people on a plantation who have 200-300 slaves on a plantation. Now ask yourself, how do they control 200-300 people when the slaves outnumber them like 10-12 to 1 or 20-1? The way they did that was through resources. The plantation master had the resources, which is what? Food, shelter, right?
Mm-hmm.
He had water, access to water, access to security, safety. It's the same thing that's being done today. Why is it that we outnumber the system, which is the government, but we feel like we can't stand up to them? It's the same mindset, because if you think about it, in the slave days, you had 200 slaves versus like 200 slaves and 8 white people watching them. The way they kept them in check was through resources. It's the same thing today. We don't have resources, so that's why we have to be servants. Slavery never went away. They just made it seem like it went away. It's the same. I mean, come on, brother. It's just fucking slavery, man. Think about it. You go to high school. You go to college. After college, you get a job. You do that for, what, 30 years? Hopefully you get a little retirement, 401K. Then they put you in a nursing home and you wait to die. What kind of fucking life is that? That ain't no fucking life, man. But they program us to say this is the best you can do. That's bullshit.
That's why we have to get our own businesses. We have to start doing business with each other. And we have to start trusting each other to do this business.
That's the key. We don't trust each other. We don't trust each other at all. And they use.
Well, we gotta keep on beating that drum until folks start trusting each other. Because if we don't, we're gonna be in this boat for our next 3-4 generations. I have 1 minute left on the program. Brother, please, it's been a good conversation. Please call back. All right. And I'd like for you to call back on the show. It's every Tuesday night from 8 to 9 p.m. But I only got 1 minute, like 30 seconds left. And I thank you for calling in.
No doubt, brother.
Hey, well, he's right. He was right for the most part. He got me when he said, you go to college, get a job, 30 years, get a little 401k, and then you go to a nursing home, see the citizen bill, and die. You know, like, wow. I mean, and you know, I have a couple of my friends that died the last month and a half and work all our lives, and he just built a home in another state to retire, and he only been there like for 4 or 5 months, and maybe a year, and he's gone. And I'd just like to say what's up to his family, Stephen Saeed Jones, and I'm going to miss you, brother. Because we grew up since fire hydrants. And I just want to say this. That we cannot, as Malcolm said, be hoodwinked, led astray. And we've been led astray, in which people was able to divide us and what have you. But every week I keep on beating the same drum. I have other people come on. Beating their drums, of communicating with you. Hopefully, we'll start seeing pro-black activism from all levels. Now, I don't care what you say about Mr. LeBron James. Mr. LeBron James is a very active member of the black community. With his money and his presence, Chris Paul, another one, and they're friends. I guess birds of the feather flock together, but they're friends, and they try to do different attempts to influence. They only can produce so much. He only one person. And eventually, we're doing something again, collective. And with that, another week has been passed, and next Tuesday, you have to tune in. The round table is coming. And we're going to talk about what we need to do for 2000. First, we're going to talk about what happened in 2017 and what's going to happen in 2018. Had beautiful Jay Henson coming on. Melanie Gricka Collette coming on. Carter Steve is coming on. So it's going to be a very good discussion. So we'll call in for next week. Again, I am because we are. We are because I am. Good night, folks.
Hold it now!